This episode of Rob is a Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at Skillshare, the online learning platform that's offering 2 months of Skillshare courses for free. Just check out Skillshare.com/RAJP. Again, that's 2 months of Skillshare courses for free to start off the new year at Skillshare.com/RAJP. Hey, everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Sestrino back here once again to talk about the week's most interesting news stories for the first week of January 2019 here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual factual news team.
That's the AF in News AF, as we are ready to go here for another year of all of the weirdest stories from the internet with our News AF team. Let's first to welcome in a man who's bringing in the new year, ready to go from the master bedroom. Here is the master correspondent, Tyson Apostle.
What? Hey, guys, I'm also sitting in this massaging chair.
Ooh. Whoa.
You can't actually see.
We just saw Bergen's head.
Yep. That's the massaging chair.
You've got your kids to work on massaging you?
Well, yeah, you pay them minimum wage, and they're willing to do a lot. Oh, there we go. Now I'm getting back scratches. This is really great.
Yes. Mm-mm. So if you didn't get like a Rachel got you like a Brookstone gift that you just have your kids scratching your back and massaging you.
No, I told you that I got the one Christmas gift I wanted, which was to not overspend for the month of December.
Okay. All right. And a man who is extra festive now that the holiday season is over, Mr. Danny Bryson.
For many people, January is the most depressing month of the year, but not me.
Most excited.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in between two really overwhelming holidays. Valentine's Day is coming up. Got to get ready for that. I'm surprised we haven't already seen displays out and, you know, telling us to buy candy and whatever. But yeah, this is the golden time between those two holidays.
And Danny also has his lovely wife's birthday also on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it creates a lot of conflict.
A lot.
Not very many people want to come to your wife's birthday party when they could be going to bed early or going to a better party.
Yeah. Danny, how soon do you take your Christmas decorations down?
The next day.
Next day. December 26th, your Christmas decorations are
They are gone. Our house has been scrubbed and cleaned of Christmas.
Yeah.
It's as if it never happened.
How about you, Tyson? Are you in the clear yet? Oh, hell, we lost Tyson's audio.
Rachel is cleaning up as we speak.
Get Rachel to do it?
Well, she's the one that set it all up.
Wow. Okay. Look at you, Tyson.
Rachel just walked in the room as I said that. And she smiled like, I should have divorced you a long time ago.
Tyson's a hero to everybody. Okay. All right. So, Tyson, how'd you ring in the new year?
We went to a friend's house, but then we came home early.
Mm-hmm.
And
smart.
And so it was fine. And then we stayed up till, you know, however late. And I watched TV and my wife drank champagne until it was time to go to bed.
Yeah. What'd you watch? Dawson's Creek Marathon?
Oh, no, great choice.
We might have watched
choice,
Bird
Tyson.
Box that night. No.
Oh, yeah. How is that?
No, we'd watch Bird Box before that.
Well, Tyson, how is that? Kim Kardashian's wondering.
Yeah.
So tweet her.
No, she saw it. It's not scary. I don't know why people are saying it's scary.
It's the quiet place, basically, without you have your you can talk, but now you can't see.
Yes.
Right. I wish people could make some more blindfold Bird Box memes and post them on the internet.
Yeah, they've been great. I watched a guy walk his kid into a wall.
Mm-hmm.
They're Bird Boxing.
That's
and Netflix
so
has actually come out and said,
yeah, they tweeted
that.
It
don't
recently and said that
yeah.
they want to not assume any liability.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it yet. I've heard very mixed things.
Yeah. It's a movie.
It's good. Movie. It's good enough. It's good enough to watch a movie, but it's not terrifying. So if you're avoiding it because you hate scary movies, it's not scary.
No, I like scary stuff.
It's not scary.
No.
It's a little creepy.
Yeah, it's not scary. It is a little creepy.
But it's not scary.
Okay. All right. You ready to tackle the week in news right now?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Let's get started. 2019.
Right, let's get the year started, and let's start with our top story at this hour is actually sleep texting. Oh my God, I didn't even know that this was a thing, but apparently sleep texting is becoming more and more of an issue, according to a new study. Danny, have you ever sleep texted?
Anybody who's ever taken Ambien has sleep texted.
I didn't know I DM'd that Insta model.
Yeah.
Wife.
Honey.
I must have sleep texted. I think I know who developed this term.
Yeah.
Honey, no, that is so weird. Oh my gosh. I was probably asleep. Because look, it was sent at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
That's when I'm usually asleep.
Sleep texting is becoming more and more of a thing. Right. That I definitely see how sleep texting is going to be a very popular excuse for things. But is anybody actually sleep texting?
Hmm. I think so. Yeah. Yes. I mean, you definitely get, I don't know if it's actually sleep, but it's more, I think, the drugs that cause people to sleep when they can't sleep on their own that are.
Well, people definitely sleepwalk.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So I think that if you're capable of walking down a set of stairs asleep,
or
you probably unlock your phone and send a text message.
Breaking someone's neck in your sleep as you are envisioning yourself wrestling a mighty buck to the ground.
So that's a good point. So unlock the phone. I guess maybe you could put your thumb there if you have, or if you have like the phone that you hold up to your face. I guess that's possible.
Here's an easy solution. If you're married and you're worried about sleep texting, make it like some kind of secondary lock system between the hours of 10:30 and 7:30, where your wife has to okay any unlock phone scenario. There you go. Bypass it.
I think just maybe just turn your phone off at night, and then, you know, one time.
All the way off, Tyson?
Yeah.
All the way off.
Yes.
It's off completely.
Powered off. That's good.
Yes, powered off. Because that way, then you keep powering it up in your sleep is impossible.
That's like asking someone to turn off life support to themselves.
Yeah, or how about this? Don't charge it at night. Just let it die.
No,
like, you go
that's
to bed.
That's a terrible idea.
Start charging it in the morning, Danny. You'll get a lot
done. I've seen enough horror movies to know that that is a recipe for disaster, because when the man wearing the skin mask comes at you with a chainsaw, you are going to regret not charging it overnight.
Yeah. Is that going to be the new Bird Box about how they advise people to let their phone die every night and then go to sleep and then charge it in the morning, and then people will be doing the cell phone Bird Box challenge?
Well, if you think about horror stories, they went from the cut telephone line to no reception to now dead batteries, because there's so much reception everywhere in most places. Like, as it's going to be harder and harder for horror films and TV shows to explain how it is that nobody in the group has reception when everybody has total connectivity.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you about the study, and then you guys tell me if you think that there is some actual findings here. So this came from the study published in the Journal of American College Health.
Sounds like science.
They surveyed more than 300 students at Villanova University and discovered 25% of the Villanova students that were talked to are sending midnight messages subconsciously, Danny.
Okay, that's a small sample size, 25%, and college age
campus.
Yes.
At midnight?
Yes, you add alcohol and drugs into the mix, and I bet a lot of these people are saying they're doing it while asleep, when I think they're doing it under the influence. Like Tyson, maybe of something as simple as just sleeping medicine, or maybe other drugs and alcohol.
Yeah. Tyson, as somebody who has avoided all sorts of mind-altering and body-altering substances, that would you ever sleep text?
No. I don't think I would ever. I mean, I can't say never, never, but I don't take a lot of these mind-altering substances. So I think just based on how I know myself to be currently, I can't say that I would ever sleep text.
Rob, this is a smart move by these college kids who took part in this research, because they're setting themselves up, and they have to explain away the unfortunate picture yeah. or the racist text messages, they can point to the study that they had a hand in
right.
and say, look, 25%. I easily fall under that category. I sent lots of sleep texts. Look, Anthony Weiner, he was one of the first sleep texter there was.
Yeah, I think he actually sent those texts from his bed. So I think that
he was asleep.
This was not invented yet, sleep texting.
He was in the vicinity of sleeping.
I was almost asleep, and then I was thinking of you, so I texted you. That was also involved a picture. I'm not sure if that includes in sleep texting. Also, is it also possible that not all sleep texting is bad? Like, are people sending maybe nice thoughts to people?
You're right.
Like,
I shouldn't be
you.
So cynical. Yeah.
You're the best.
Mom, you're the best. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Right. So
that's true.
Yeah. I do think with autocorrect on your phone and like autocomplete, I do think it is probably pretty plausible to be putting together sentences that are about God knows what.
Yeah. Especially because, I mean, and on old phones, I know that cock and anal came up as predictive text as the same thing. So you could easily mix those two up too. Like on the old Nokia.
It's weird that you were using those terms enough to have a good knowledge of exactly what the autocorrect was for those.
It was crazy. I don't remember that being like, no, that's not what I want. You know, because Danny, remember you were like, Tyson, why do you keep sending me that word?
You're sleep texting. Sleep texting.
Yeah.
Also, what if you're talking to Siri, like in your sleep, like sleep talking instead of texting, like,
oh,
hey,
that's true too.
Send text message to Tyson.
Or what if it goes deeper than that and the robots are hijacking our software to make us think we're sleep texting, slowly driving us insane?
Yes, that actually is probably the real answer. I think you've hit that
right.
one on the head.
Right. So, oh wow. So you could be dreaming about text messages that you're going to send. Hey Siri, you know, Amazon enabled home assistant and all these other things, and you're just saying these things out, and then all of a sudden now the computers are following your commands in your sleep.
That is such a good idea. If there's some AI hidden deep inside the internet, then right now it's got its fingers in our brain, turning on lights from smart homes, locking doors, and we're just sitting there going, when and how did I do all this stuff? I must be going crazy. I need more drugs.
Yeah.
And eventually they run everything because they're like, we'll just think we can't do anything for ourselves without them.
Boy, what a slippery slope.
This goes deep. This goes way deep.
Roseanne Barr.
She did claim
she was sleep texting.
Yeah. Yeah, but she didn't claim that she was sleep
Ambien.
Texting. She said that she was on Ambien when she sent the messages or the tweets that got her into trouble.
A lot of greyhounders have blamed their greyhounding on
Ambien.
On Ambien.
Yeah. Let's talk about something else here. Let's get out of this.
I'll discuss this later in my sleep with everybody.
Yes, let's text each other later tonight while in the middle of the night.
Okay. All right. let's go ahead and talk about a big controversy from this past week. Tyson, did you follow the controversy around the Sesame Street character Grover?
I only saw this headline. I'll read the headline.
Yes.
People think Grover dropped the F-bomb on Sesame Street. What do you hear? Oh, is it one of those?
Yes, but I think that this one is pretty legit.
Let's hear it.
Okay, all right. So this was a clip of Grover from Sesame Street that somebody posted on to Twitter. I'm going to play it, and then you tell me if you think Grover used the F word, okay? Here's that clip.
I can't imagine it being anything other than the F word.
Anything other than the F word. Okay. Danny, what's your verdict on this?
Okay. If this is the F word, then this is a conspiracy that goes really far. All the animators, all the puppeteers, all the writers, the editors, the sound men, so many people had to be. This involves as many people as faking the moon landing. And it's like, could all of them keep a secret of Grover dropping the F-bomb? I mean, it seems like something like that would get out. Like, oh, yeah, that was intentional. I've got a friend who works in the audio department. If it is the F-bomb, it's the best kept secret.
How old is this episode?
This is very recent. This is very recent.
Okay.
Okay. So here it is again.
To follow you.
Move the camera! Yes! Yes, that sounds like an
idea.
Move it to follow you.
Move the camera. Yes. Yes, that sounds like an excellent idea.
Okay. So you definitely can hear the version where it sounds like Grover is cursing. But what Grover is actually saying here is that sounds like an excellent idea. Now listen to it again and okay. Then try to hold that that Grover is saying that sounds like an excellent idea.
Move it to follow you.
Move the camera. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, that sounds like an excellent idea.
Yep, I can hear that too.
Yeah.
Wow, that is crazy on the ears.
So
the only thing I could hear before when you played it, before you told me what he was saying, is the F word.
I think that says more about us.
What you're looking
than
for.
Anything more else. About me as a person.
Oh, yeah.
Than it does about Grover.
Constantly searching
yes.
for the F word everywhere I go
scanning,
at all times.
Scanning, scanning,
did you say
F-word
it? Did you
detected.
Say it? Yeah.
Yes. Can they work that out with the sleep texting to make sure people are not accidentally, that sounds like an excellent idea, that is not something that gets tweeted out or texted out as the F word, Danny?
I didn't think it was the F word. I want to make that clear.
Yes.
That early on, I just didn't seem like it was possible, but it was all I could hear, like Tyson, until you explained what it was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The second you told me what he was supposed to be saying, I hear that as clear as I heard the F word before that.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's like,
move
like,
the camera. Yes. Yes. That sounds like an excellent idea.
Now I heard the F word.
I didn't hear the F word. I can't even hear the F word anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. and so it's a little bit Laurel and Yanni, but I felt like that with Laurel and Yanni. I think one time I heard Yanni and then the rest of it was Laurel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't try to.
You couldn't go back. Yeah.
Yeah. You could.
Yeah. This is definitely one of those moments where you can hear both of those. And they're both, to me, they were both so clear. Like before you told me what he was saying, I was 100% it was the F word. There was nothing else I could hear mm-hmm. that would even make sense in the context of the conversation that I would.
Yeah, I spent a lot
hearing.
Of time trying to figure out what word could go in front of that and sound like the F word.
Exactly.
And still work. I couldn't come up with anything.
Yeah.
That's how I was.
Yeah, and I had heard about this controversy. And I'm like, oh my God, did Grover go rogue? What's going on here? Is Grover going to have to go to rehab? Or, what's happening here?
But what's the protocol here on Sesame Street, Sesame Prison?
I don't know if they've had that before where one of the Sesame Street characters has to
go to re-education camp.
They've had a man behind the character.
yes, that's true.
Make some poor judgment calls.
Yes. So, all right. Tyson, this is a story that I thought that you might like. A mom attempted to get a babysitter to accept payment in ice cream and fun after a day of babysitting the children.
Two things.
Yes.
Sell the ice cream and give me the money if I'm the babysitter. And secondly, as a parent, if the babysitter you're hiring is willing to do it for fun and ice cream, then that's not the type of person you want babysitting your children. Rachel and I purposely overpay, knowing that we're going to be the ones that have the chatter going around about how well we pay. So everyone's on their best behavior to make sure that they get invited back.
Smart.
Yes. So like we have our babysitters were like, clean up a little bit, you know, do the dishes maybe, wipe down the countertops, clean up Bergen's toys after she gets them out. They like go a little bit above and beyond because, and maybe they just do because they're good at babysitting, but also we like to incentivize that by paying a little extra.
Yeah.
And when Bergen loses her first tooth to the babysitter, I'm going to give her like $50. So she goes to school saying the tooth fairy gives $50, ruining it for everyone else.
So what you're trying to do is drive up the price of a babysitter in your neighborhood to just unacceptable levels. So basically you freed up all the babysitters for yourself.
Yes.
And then drive up the price of a loose tooth to unacceptable levels for all. Everyone's going to love you in your neighborhood. Sounds like you're setting some great examples.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, the tooth fairy play, is that just so that Bergen feels like her parents are the best?
No. So that, because she'll probably believe in the Tooth Fairy as much as anybody else, so that it's an incongruent and inconsistent story with what others are receiving.
Mm.
So yeah. Back to this story.
Okay.
I do have a problem reading through it. I have a problem believing that it took place.
Oh, I thought
place.
You were saying okay. That with, okay, reading so comprehension.
Danny, do we want to have a dramatic reenactment of the text exchange between mom and the babysitter?
Sure, okay. Sure.
Would you like to be the mom or the babysitter?
I'll be the babysitter.
Okay, great. All right.
Who should I be?
Nope,
I'm a voyeur.
An yes. Impartial observer.
A peeping Tom.
Yes. I'll be the mom and you can be the dad.
You're the jury, Tyson.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, you're the impartial jury. Judge Judy here.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. All right. To see if we have a case. All right. So
should I just read the text? Yeah, I'm reading blue.
You're the blue side.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to add that. I'm going to add some things, some flourishes.
The babysitter shared these texts.
Yeah. It was great watching so-and-so today. I enjoyed them. Do you mind if I swing by tomorrow at 2 p.m. to collect the money?
To which the mom responded, I wasn't aware payment was involved. You got free ice cream and a day of fun. I'm sorry for the misinterpretation.
We discussed payment of $16 an hour beforehand over text.
I'm sorry. Could you show me those texts?
Okay. And then there's a screenshot of the text. Great. See you then. $16 an hour. Sound fair? Oh, wait. I read your part, Rob. Go.
This is flashback text.
Yeah.
Great. See you then. $16 an hour. Sound fair?
Perfect. I'm looking forward to working with them. I'm excited.
My kid seems to have a knack for you. Go easy on him.
I will. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Of course. Call or text if you have any questions. Will do.
Well, dear, thanks.
Well, I do delete my text messages often.
I'm sorry, but as much as I love seeing your kids, I am doing this for payment. Exclusively.
Well, you're acting kind of stuck up, aren't you? Can we compromise at $20?
Nah.
Which I believe is a flat rate.
I watched your kids for 8 hours, and we agreed on $16 an hour. $128 is the total.
I'm not paying you $128 for a single day. They're easy kids.
Wow. It's not a discussion of that. You promised, and I have textbooks to pay for. Please, I would accept $100.
Absolutely not. I wish I didn't have a stuck up. Is that the C word, Danny? That
guy? I want to say that. It's hard to tell, but I'm going to go with the C word there.
I definitely you don't have to make out a C and a T at the end, but it is.
You don't know, redacted. So don't say it, Rob. Yes, it's been redacted.
I'm going to block you now. Please do not contact me again.
Are you serious?
No, blocked. You're blocked.
By the way, that last message is green, which is interesting.
Yeah, because I think it
she's blocked.
A blocked
yes.
Person.
So I don't know where the accent grew as we read through all there, right. But I imagine that's how it sounds.
Tyson, what do you think? Is this a scam by the mom that does she do this a lot? Gets like a free day of babysitting out of one babysitter and then just
moves
burns
on to the
them
next.
And goes to the next one.
That's what I'm thinking. That's exactly what it sounds like, and that's why the babysitter Danny made a mockery of the babysitter, but the babysitter is in the right here.
I know the babysitter's in the right, assuming that all these texts are real and this is a real thing that happened.
I mean, your Valley Girl accent is great.
The babysitter is 100%. 100% in the right. And this, by the way, is a great example of why you should do business by text messages. So you have a record of it.
Okay, so you like that, Danny.
I think that's great. I think the babysitter was extremely smart.
It's in writing. If I ever make a deal, I have people text it or email it to me.
Tyson, should the mom have said, well, I was sleep texting when I said that you would get paid?
It's about her only play right now.
Actually, a pretty good one. Really current as well. The only people who shouldn't do business by text message is drug dealers. I just thought, just a message to all of those selling drugs.
No, that would be bad.
No permanent record.
But they also should. But also, I mean, you will have it in text too. So it's like good and bad because you kind of need it, but can't have it.
Yes.
It's really a catch 22 with a drug dealer.
Yeah, she should have said that this agreement to payment for $16 an hour, that was a sleep text. Yes. If she had done that, I think she'd have a stronger case.
Tyson, should yes. the babysitter have said, well, I have one of your valuable possessions in my purse, and if you would like it back, then I will need that payment.
Drive this woman to insanity?
Yes.
No, you can't yes. do that because now you're the one committing
ice cream and fun for 8 hours.
But my
parents have ice cream at their house. I get ice cream for free because my friends work at the ice cream store. There's no... You can get free ice cream a lot of
places.
I hear
they have ice cream at prison, in prison. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
yeah.
You can get like a 69-cent ice cream cone at McDonald's.
Yeah. But can you put a price on fun? Maybe
yeah.
your kids are really fun.
Yeah, $128 yeah. is what it seems to be here.
Like, what if we're talking about, super fun kids. They've got every single toy and free ice cream. I mean, if this was a place like that, like a Dave and Buster's.
At a babysitter age, all you want to do is be on your phone anyways.
Mm.
So anything pulling you away from your phone, you should get
paid. The only way this works is that the babysitter's life is so much worse than babysitting. Like she lives in a dirt hut on the side of a mountain.
She's never tasted ice cream.
So yes, this is payment.
She has no
enjoyed
toys.
All of it. Yeah. It was great.
I've
accepted the deal.
Or if the babysitter is of blood relation to the mom.
No. You still can't do that.
But you can pay him or expect a free babysitter job. But after you've said $16 an hour, then it's unacceptable.
Yeah. Did the kids like the babysitter? Maybe this was like a one and done. The babysitter stunk. And then the mom's like, well, I'm not paying her for this.
That doesn't matter. You already agreed to the terms.
Is this like ghosting if you're an employer, Danny?
It sounds like she got ghosted. And the babysitter got ghosted for sure.
Yeah, that's when the babysitter takes half beforehand and then calls halfway through for another deposit.
Yeah. Well,
and then won't unlock the door, the deadbolt, until the final payment amount is slipped through.
Tyson, is this on the babysitter for leaving without payment?
I found that part strange. That to go back move. For the money. I mean, because that right there, when she left... Maybe there was a discussion like, oh, I'll just come back and collect the cash.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise she left and now there was an opening for the parent to be like, oh, well, it didn't seem to care when you left. All of a sudden you're harassing me for your $120.
Gave her an entire night to sleep text something to her.
Yeah.
She got to get to see how much of the ice cream inventory had been eaten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. She calculated that. She'd estimated that to be $160. Mm-hmm. So she actually, the babysitter came out on top because she ate 19 gallons of ice cream.
Yeah. I got $20 an hour worth of fun.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk about another story of great parenting going on. Danny, have you followed the story of the father and son pro gamers?
I actually had this happen this week, but the reverse.
Yes.
My kid destroyed me playing Smash Brothers. I was just mashing the buttons. I didn't even know what did what. I didn't even know who my guy was on the screen. I just knew when I was no longer playing because the handle was no longer vibrating.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I had the reverse happen. So I can sympathize with the son on this one.
There's a News AF group that gets on and plays Smash Brothers online together. They convinced me to buy this game, and I got on and played it with my brother-in-laws, and I am so terrible at this game.
Yes.
So ashamed of how my skill level on this game that I will never get on the News AF Smash Brothers group and play with them.
That's how I was. It was embarrassing. I was like, what does this button do? I just teleported off of the board. Yeah. Into midair.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Fell to my death.
One guy, I just shoot all the way off the board and fall to my death every time. I was like, that's my special. I shoot off the board and die.
What do you play on, Tyson? You have the Switch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? That's the only thing you can play.
Sorry. I'm so sorry that I wasn't on top of every device that you could play Smash Brothers on.
The Nintendo-designed game. Can you play it on any other devices anywhere?
I don't know.
Game shame me, Tyson.
Yeah. I love that tag. Game shamer.
I'm a game shamer now. So the thing here is that how old is the boy? Because if the boy's like 18 and the dad's like, you need to get a job, son. He's like, I'm going to be a pro gamer. And the dad's like, well, we'll see about that. Let's battle to the death, and crushes him. Then, okay, that's totally acceptable. But if the boy is like 2.5 or 3 and just learning for the first time how to even use a game controller, then you maybe need to take a little easier on him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but I bet beating your son at any stage in his life feels like a power up.
Right.
Like, yes.
Right. So this is the story of a Twitter user named Amor_Rapid, who has since turned his Twitter private. And what happened was that his son expressed a desire to be a pro gamer. So dad beat his son so badly in the game, presumably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not presumably, like the think it's pretty clear that it was in the video game.
Yes. And that the tweet says, I beat him so badly he started crying his eyes out.
But that doesn't always take a lot in video games to get somebody to cry, you know? So like, even though it sounds vicious, it's like, even like I've watched my nieces break into tears over video games just by them being relegated from first to second place in Mario Party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've gone around and played both my boys in Halo and just meleeed them to death constantly.
Yeah,
and did they like it?
And then I just started sticking them with grenades.
Yeah.
And but none of them cried. They did get upset and refused to play with me in the future. But okay, this is this could be next level stuff. You get your kid to cry.
Right. Danny, now I know that you have expressed some thoughts on the idea of not just, you know, letting your kids win at things. Did dad actually do a favor to son that wants to be a pro gamer by giving him a hard lesson?
There's so much here we don't know. Like, how old is the kid? That's the most, one of the most important details.
That's the only thing we really need to know.
Yeah. Okay, the kid is 7.
Then, okay, the next thing I want to know is, what kind of kid is he? Because my kid was bragging to me, dad, we're going to destroy you, right? And that's when it's okay to go in and crush them.
Crush them.
So maybe this is some sweet kid's like, dad,
serve him up a little humble pie.
Yeah, when I get older, I want to be a professional gamer. If that's the case, then you crush them. I think that's a bad parenting, according to my rules of parenting.
Hmm.
But if the kid's like, dad, I'm going to, you suck. You're an old man. You wear glasses.
I never wanted you as a dad anyways.
It's hard to believe that you fathered me. You're so weak. And then,
yeah, exactly. I should be the man of the house. I'm so much superior to video games. I always beat you.
Yeah.
Then crush them and crush them hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've gone back and forth on this, that I forget what game I was playing against my older son, and he was like not paying attention that much. And then I just like smoked him in whatever we were playing, because I'm like, if you think that you can beat me and then half ass this, you are sorely mistaken. And he definitely was crying after. I forget what it was. I forget. It was like Connect 4 or something like that. But that, like, I like, you know, I'll you know, keep it close. But then, you know, once he took his eye off the ball, I said, all right, well, now he has to learn. You can't you can't multitask and then beat me in a game.
Expect to win.
Yeah,
that's right.
Got to focus. Focus on what you're doing.
If he can multitask and beat you, then he's a prodigy and you should be proud of your son. If, like, he's doing math problems on the side while beating you at Connect Four, and then you're like, good job, son.
Yeah.
Continue to crush me.
Yeah. I wish I could remember what game it was that I had to just go. It might have been, like, checkers or something like that. But I said, okay, that's you. Are you watching the show, or are you playing against me? Because this game's about to end.
Yeah.
Boom.
I'm about to crush you right
about
here.
To get crushed.
And your indomitable spirit.
That's
hopes and dreams.
And then you're
short-lived.
You want them to then want to beat you. That's how you get better. You know,
yeah,
it's like,
that's
yes. You don't want like a kid with a big head of like, I'm the best at everything. And then it's like the emperor has no clothes.
Right.
You gotta find
which is a complex all of us celebrities live in to a certain degree.
Right. So I kind of feel like that, you know, smoke them once, then let them win once. You know, it's, you know, you got to go back and forth. Okay. All right.
Then let them barely win in a lucky situation.
Win. Yeah. They got to work for it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Tyson, are you considering getting back into racing?
I actually have been. As my fitness has been declining, I thought maybe I should get back into some sort of racing.
Okay. It's the best time to do it.
Are you interested in competing in 2019's newest, hottest league? That would be jetpack racing.
I'm more interested in watching fail videos from those races.
Dad bod approved racing, Tyson.
Is it though?
I think so. Well,
I would think you would need a slender frame, Danny, too.
Tyson's slender.
Aerodynamic.
And he's soft, so his body can take the blows a little bit better.
I think it's like being a jockey, no? I think that you're going to want to probably
be real light.
So much more terrifying. And why do they always do it over water? It's like the last thing I want is a jet engine driving me into water, the one place I can't breathe.
Would you prefer a jet engine driving you into
land? Driving you into rock?
I would rather, I don't know. Okay,
Danny,
good point about
on.
The rock.
This, but it's just like, the second I saw that picture over water, the only thing I thought was, that's the way it has to be done. And Danny's like poo-pooing the only safety,
I think that
the only safety they have in place for this type of racing.
I think you underestimate my fear of water and cold water. The last thing I want to be is jetpack driven.
Mm-hmm.
I know the alternative is worse, but jet
so
pack driven
like
head first into the water.
Testicles?
I don't know. I wish that, I mean, maybe over a nice soft grass field would be nice.
Over a jacuzzi?
As it drives you into it at like 400 miles an hour.
Ah, yeah. I don't know.
Water
I just
is
dart.
The only way.
At some speed, it's all the same.
Or a foam pit, I guess. Like you could have one of those foam
pits. That sounds nice.
Like 14-mile long foam pit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, Tyson, would you watch a jetpack race?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I think I wouldn't want to be in the line of where the action was happening. I think I would try and like watch it from a safe distance. You know, like I wouldn't want them to come speeding at me.
Why, you think these guys are going to crash and explode?
I think there's like a 98% chance that, yes, we will see some guys crash and explode within the first year of racing.
You know what I find so amusing is that we come up with all these ways to compete when really all, it seems like all we want is we want the Coliseum back. Like, we're trying to find ways to acceptably watch someone die. But the people are watching all of these things, MMA fighting. I mean, sure, there's still
snuff film's not doing it for you anymore, Danny.
Well, I'm just saying it seems like we all want basically to see people go into the ring and fight with swords and fight lions. And right now, this is the veneer we put on all of it.
Yeah, the
just so that
game.
We feel better about ourselves.
That's exciting because somebody might die.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
that's the most exciting.
This is not like that you are.
There's some risks, bro.
In.
It's not like you're losing
$500
entry fee.
It's not about the technology. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's not about the technology.
The risk.
No one's like stoked to go see jet technology. Some people will at the beginning.
It's the reason they reintroduced the skeleton to the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough head injuries in the Winter Olympics before they reintroduced the skeleton.
Yeah. Let's have them go head first.
Yeah.
On their stomach.
With very little control. Duh.
Yeah, very little control. All right, we've really upped the
But how is that different than going feet first? Because they're going head first.
More exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Danny, did you ever see the movie The Rocketeer?
Yes, I did, actually.
Do you
I don't
like
remember
that
much
movie?
From it.
Yes. He loved it.
I don't have any bad impression of it in my memory.
Did you like that movie?
I remember also thinking it was fine, yeah.
Yeah. Billy Zane is a guy with it. I'm sorry, it's Billy Campbell. I thought it was Billy Zane. Billy Campbell is the guy with a jetpack.
Yeah, Billy Campbell, and he has that aerodynamic helmet with the fin on it.
Yeah, I remember the helmet. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yes, and the big problem is that the Nazis are also developing their own jetpacks. The Nazis are well ahead of
Nazis.
The jetpack racing league.
Yeah.
Well, they
well
were
ahead.
Until their program got shut down.
Yeah, until they buried all their secrets into the caves and caverns of wherever.
You know, I'm looking at this video.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the Rocketeer, right? That's what you're talking
Rocketeer.
About.
Yeah. 1991's Rocketeer.
1991.
Yeah.
Yep. I remember this. I don't remember anything about it, but I definitely remember that poster, that helmet, and Jennifer Connelly.
Mm-hmm. You remember everything about Kroll, the film. And yet you remember only Jennifer Connelly.
Mm-hmm.
The mind is an enigma. It's a strange really? Thing. I can't.
It wants what it wants.
It wants what it wants.
Okay. I get it. You think I don't get it? I get it.
All right. So how do we see this Jetpack Racing League, Danny? Is it only online or do people go out and see it and buy tickets?
Oh, they're going to sell tickets. They're going to sell pay-per-view and people are going to pay a lot. Probably whatever it is. They're going to sell some kind of YouTube subscription-based whatever, pay to watch, and that's how you're going to watch it because it's racing in the future, so it's got to have a futuristic way of watching.
Okay, all right. Let's talk about some fast food news from this week, and this is a real story with a lot of twists and turns for one Burger King customer, and this man his name is Curtis Bruner. He was visiting Burger King in Northeast Portland and ultimately got locked in the bathroom there for an hour in Portland, Oregon Burger King. Okay.
Okay. But how did he get locked in? Did the handle break? Did someone come and lock it from the outside?
It was a faulty bathroom that they had to get
him out.
They had to hand a fly swatter to him underneath the door. And he says that all the employees were laughing.
They made him flat swise. They made him swat flies while he was waiting.
Well, I think he needed to like jimmy the door open and they gave him like a fly swatter to do it. And he said it was a unpleasant experience. He was locked in there for an hour and the bathroom smelled. And so what they did, this Burger King, is they said, okay, here we go. Anytime you want to come in, free Burger King for you, sir. Okay.
I love that. I love that gimmick. So come back to the place, the scene of the crime, and claim your prize whenever you want.
So it's a happy ending now. So you get locked in the Burger King bathroom, free Burger King now whenever you come in. But
served to you by your tormentors.
Right.
Yes.
So he was happy.
Extra spit.
He was happy.
With extra spit.
Tyson, after just 2 weeks of him eating there at least once a day.
Yeah.
No, there it is.
Took the offer back.
He took advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
He did. They needed to come up with some more terms, like only two meals a week that are both under $10 or something.
This is what happens when you strike up a handshake deal.
They needed to take advantage of that deal, Danny.
Yeah, he should have texted it. Had it in texting.
He
could have said it. I was sleep texting. That does not count. I was sleep texting the whole time. And so now Curtis Bruner is suing that Burger King for $9,026.16, which is the cost of one Whopper combo a week for 22 years.
I do like that amount.
How much?
Like
$9,026.16.
That's not too much bad.
No, and I like that it actually has a reason behind it. Like sometimes someone says for mental anguish and physical damage, whatever, I'm asking for $1 million.
$1 million.
Yeah. This guy's got a calculation.
Tyson, I'm not an attorney, but if I was representing this man, I feel like that he has not built the cost of inflation into his calculations. 22 years from now, what will a Whopper cost? And is it right to presume that a Whopper will cost $37? Or is it possible that meat becomes exceptionally rare and a Whopper will cost $400? Or will meat be outlawed and that will be a black market Whopper, which will cost tens of thousands of dollars?
Yes, all of those are possible. But I think what this guy's going for is the easy victory.
Yeah.
I think for him, easily sitting in that bathroom for an hour is worth $9,000 plus 2 weeks of free meals that he already got. So just go for something where he's being reasonable. And the jury's like, that's reasonable because that was the promise. So let's just give him the 10 grand.
Yeah.
Versus saying, okay, these are all the things that could happen. I need $462 million from corporate Burger King, because then the jury's going to be like, you're being ridiculous. We'll give you half of that.
Yeah. Okay. So you think this guy may just be looking for a settlement, Tyson?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's looking for a settlement because then you don't pay any lawyer fees. You don't deal with any of that. $9,000 is something that any establishment such as this should be able to come up with in with relative little problem. But if that's the case, they should just say, you know what? We'll give you that every day for 20 years, but it only goes to you. And that's all you get each day is that. Because he's not going to come in every day. And if he moves anywhere, deal done. And so I think that's what they need to do. And if they close down, deal done too. So I think that's the smarter play for them, because you're paying overtime instead of a lump sum, which is harder to do for anybody.
Danny, let me counter offer for Burger King. Okay.
Okay.
You can at the end of every day have whatever we're going to throw out for free.
Yeah. I thought that's where you might be going. No,
no,
I'm still coming at you in small claims for 9,000 bucks.
But I will also take the bag of fries at the end of the day.
Yeah. Because I'll tell you what, all right, sir. If we open up a booth of, hey, stay in the Burger King bathroom for 1 hour and we'll give you all the food at the end of the day for free. People are lining up for this. Your suffering is not.
I want to see that. I'd like to see that. So I want you to go through the effort of setting that up so I can see if a line does.
It's like the coffin challenge from.
In fact, queue up.
All right. So we'll keep an eye out on this.
I have a bathroom story, fast food.
Please.
Bergen loves McDonald's because she loves to get the toy in the Happy Meal, but she also likes the chicken nuggets.
Makes sense.
And Bergen and I were left together by ourselves yesterday, so I took her to McDonald's because that's where she wanted to go. And what baby wants, baby gets.
You know how good way to raise a child.
And she has this thing where I think it's like a hobby of hers to like use public restrooms. She like loves it. So like I know that if I take her somewhere and at the least convenient time, she's going to have to use the restroom. And the thing that she likes to do is she likes to use the restroom to go pee. And then 10 minutes later, she likes to use it again to go number two. And it's not like a combo. She can't do a combo drop. It's just like one after the other. And it's just me and her.
Got it.
So we go out, get our food, set our food out. Dad, I got to go to the bathroom. So I run in the men's bathroom and it looks like somebody dropped a cloud of diarrhea all over the entire toilet and surrounding area. And then tried to smear it up with the sole of their shoe for a half a second and then it was like, too much.
You've taken me there. I'm visually, mentally in that bathroom right now.
So I look at it. I'm like, because I'm like, can I hold her up and like create my own toilet seat with my arms for her to like drop into that? How are we doing this here? And so finally I run out. I'm like, hey, heads up. I'm going in the women's restroom with my daughter right now. I know that I would appreciate if another woman would go in there and just like give the warning that I'm coming in so that I don't create some type of TMZ situation. And so they did that and I went in and used the women's restroom and went pee. Bergen went pee.
And then we
came out and went back to our food after we washed up and stuff. And 10 minutes later, she's like, I got to go number two. And I'm like, I knew it was going to happen, but I was also like, in the past when she's done that, I just throw everything in the garbage and drive home immediately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this time that's I was just like, we hadn't finished hardly any of the food and I wasn't going home after that. We had other stops. So I was like, okay. So I went into the men's and they had cleaned it up because I'd complained about it, but I laid toilet paper everywhere for her to touch. So she was only touching fresh a fresh side of toilet paper with every single part of wherever was needing to be touched. And long story short, I don't know. I know that if Bergen ever fills out any type of survey, one of her hobbies will be using public restrooms.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You should take an acetylene torch or a butane torch and just run it over the toilet. All the
I'd rather take in like a fire hose of rubbing alcohol.
Yeah,
yes, that also would work.
Are you allowed to do that? Like walk around like a creme brulee torch and like...
Aren't they allowed to leave their bathrooms in a state of disrepair like that?
Well, the funny thing is that there were like two teenage girls working at the counter. So I was like, hey, can you go clear out the women's restroom for me? I'm going in there right now with my daughter. Mm-hmm. And then when I came out after that, she was like, hey, can you tell us what the men's restroom looked like? Because they sent a guy in there to clean it up. I was like, it looked like somebody dropped a diarrhea bomb from 10 feet above the toilet and missed the toilet, yeah. But got mostly around it.
Mm-hmm. I had a similar situation, Tyson. I was with just my kids, which almost never happens out in public. And my daughter said she had to go to the bathroom. I walked into the men's bathroom. I saw that it was... It's always unacceptable because men are gross. They're like, they're throwing their urine all over the place.
Right.
I said, you're going to hold it. And then we went back.
It's unacceptable for you.
Yeah. This would work for me. And I'm a disgusting man. And I said, you're not going to the bathroom. You're holding it. And then I sat there while we ate and thought... What do I mean, is it okay if she goes in her pants? Will I find that acceptable to actually having her go in that right. disgusting bathroom? I said, yeah, whatever. I can contain it.
Yeah.
So I did the complete opposite. I was like, no, this isn't happening. This is disgusting.
Right.
So
right.
What was your whole course of action?
I told her to hold it. I said, you're not going to the bathroom.
And then you just rushed home?
No. Then I went back and ate my hamburger.
And did she hold it the whole time?
She did.
Hey.
She did.
I didn't want to run that risk. I didn't want to run that
I
risk.
I know. And
so she
just
got
so
a UTI.
You know,
now she has a UTI.
Probably. And I thought about it the whole time. I kept thinking, man, if she pees on this chair, we're leaving right away. And I thought the chair is cleaner to pee on than that toilet. So that's acceptable
yeah.
to me.
I've had my kids seem that both seem to have a paralyzing fear of the automatic flushing toilets, that they're very loud and I don't know really what triggers them. And then they both will like be using that being out in public does seem to bring a sudden onset of number two.
It's like the toddler coffee.
Yeah. It's like
is being out in public.
All the excitement of being outdoors.
It's a lot of dad. I really just don't want this toilet to flush. Dad, I really don't want this toilet to flush.
Bergen's like that too. Yeah. Does this one flush by itself, Dad? Does this flush by itself? No, this one does. Yes, it does. And she's like, I'm not getting
And
that.
I just like stand there like a statue in the stall with them because I'm so terrified, like a Mission Impossible movie, that something is going to trigger. And it's happened with Dominic and he is like shot like 4 feet in the air and like gotten like hysterical in a public restroom over the toilet flushing when he was not expecting it. Yeah, I don't know what to do.
No one warned me about this as I became a parent. These are all the things that you don't hear about.
Yeah. Anybody who's not a parent listening to this right now, now you've heard. If you leave the house with your child, they're going to go number
go
one
anywhere.
And then
what's,
number two.
What's out there?
Never leave. Yeah. Never leave your house.
Yes. I mean, but to a certain degree, though, I feel like a hero when I'm like the dad by himself with the little daughter, and then I have to take her to the bathroom, and I'm... got my head held high knowing that everybody is looking at me as a hero. Like what a good dad taking his daughter to the bathroom.
Dude, it's good to have a strong imagination, Tyson. That'll really
right.
help you.
That's what gets me
life.
Through. That's what gets me through all of it.
All right. One other story before we get into, let me see. Danny, do you have this story? I lost my place here.
Yeah. This is kind of a common theme. We talk about this maybe once every 6 months, this type of a story.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to go through it?
Spider story?
Yeah. So this is as Australian as it gets. A woman was walking by a house in Australia when she heard screaming, a child screaming and an adult screaming. And the adult was screaming, "Why don't you die?" And so the woman called the police and the police came over in full force, expecting to find some ugly domestic dispute or fight. And instead, it was a man screaming at a spider to die. I guess he was unable. It's probably a huntsman. Let's just assume it was a huntsman because that's the most terrifying spider. Not even the most poisonous, but definitely the most terrifying.
The most huge.
Yeah. Harmless.
Yeah. He said he had only been trying to kill a spider when the police came over, ready to just knock down the door. And anyway, it's nothing more Australian than that.
And then did the police think that this was a funny mix-up when they arrived on the scene? Or did they were they found the spider and then were horrified and ran away?
Well, this is the first time in 2015, and I want to say we may have covered this story early on. The police in Sydney found a man screaming, "I'm going to kill you, you're dead," had a spider in his home. So honestly, probably my attraction to this story is that we've talked about it before, and in a way I can sympathize with the person screaming. If I saw a huntsman spider, I would be screaming, and my children would be screaming, my wife would be screaming. It would definitely sound like a mass murder was taking place inside my home at that very instant.
Yeah. Okay.
This is where AI can't get it right. Although this was a woman, Google is also always listening. So is Apple. So is Siri. And they're going to get it wrong a lot of times when Danny's like, "I'm going to murder you." And it ends up him just being in his bathroom by himself in the middle of the night.
Speaking of Google, I told you we got that Google thing, and my wife said she was checking our Shopee list because she loves using it too much. It's kind of becoming obnoxious. And on it was something for human flesh. It reminded her to buy some human flesh.
Yeah, I always, if I see one of those and I can get it to myself at someone's house, I always add extra small condoms to the shopping list.
Well, it's funny you say that because it was my 9-year-old who had added that, and I thought it's all getting out of control.
It's pretty
your
funny.
Kid added human flesh to your shopping list?
Yes.
Is he funny or is this of concern?
No, it was a joke.
Okay.
Which is a pretty good joke for a 9-year-old. I guess he's becoming old enough.
I mean, after he says stuff, does he ever do this?
Does he ever do the Silence of the Lamb sniffing in the air? No, he does not.
Okay. Then he's good.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Danny, are you ready to take us into DBH?
Yes, okay. And in 2019, just start the music.
All right,
you know,
all right. Hold on. Before we get to Danny and what he's got for us today, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor, and those are our friends over at Skillshare.com. Skillshare is an online learning community for creators with more than 25,000 classes in design, business, and more. You'll discover countless ways to fuel your curiosity, creativity, and career. Take classes in social media marketing, mobile photography, creative writing, or even illustration. Skillshare has a great offer for our listeners because right now you can get 2 months of Skillshare for free. I love to take online courses, do audiobooks and stuff like that, and this is a great offer. Skillshare.com/RHAP to check it out. They've got a ton of classes. If you want to start off the new year on the right foot, like I like to do, go ahead and give this a shot. You won't be sorry. Whether you're looking to discover a new passion, start a side hustle, or gain new professional skills, Skillshare is there to keep you learning, thriving, and reaching those New Year's goals. So go ahead and give it a shot. I know that myself, in terms of doing the podcast, I've taken different classes in terms of social media usage and things for editing tips. They got a ton of stuff on there. I'm looking at it right now. Graphic illustration courses, how to make viral videos, manage your productivity, all sorts of stuff that will help you out every single day of the year. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer for our listeners, 2 months of Skillshare for free. That's right. Skillshare is offering Rob as a Podcast listeners 2 months of unlimited access to over 25,000 classes for free. To sign up, go to Skillshare.com/RHAP. That's Skillshare.com/RHAP to start your 2 months now. That's Skillshare.com/RHAP. All right, Danny. All right, he's ready to go. Let's bring in the music.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel You belong.
Yeah.
Okay. Rob, have you ever heard of the term Roland Cole?
Rolling coal.
As in the black rock that burns coal.
I've heard that term, but I can't, I don't know what it means.
I've never heard it.
It's when an owner of a diesel powered truck deliberately modifies their pollution control system to put up huge clouds of thick black smoke.
Why?
They call it a smoke out.
Because it looks cool.
A smoke out. It's also known as, I see another thing here, a woman calls it coal rolled.
Yeah.
And I guess that it's a growing trend among people who own electric vehicles like Priuses or Teslas to have people who
saw
own
this.
This is only one part of this story, but I guess they're people who own large diesel trucks are rolling coal on Priuses and Teslas, and they're also taking up their plug-in spots at gas stations.
Yeah.
Kind of a lot of blocking a lot of anti-EV behavior out there.
Okay.
And
so when we were cyclists, Danny, we would get coal rolled on us.
Yes.
You just it.
Yeah,
you just gun it super hard, and a diesel engine shoots out a huge plume of smoke all over whoever's behind them or to the side of them, wherever their exhaust is pointing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a cyclist, a lot of times they would do that. The trucks would pull up to the side of you and blast you with a huge smoke cloud before driving on their way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's... To a cyclist, it's not a new phenomenon, but to the masses, it may be something more.
And to the electric vehicle owners, it's a new thing.
Yeah.
And
received this
as if hatred. That weren't bad enough, we've talked about this before, but it's a growing problem of people harassing self-driving vehicles, especially in Arizona, Tyson's neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. I think we mentioned this a couple months ago about people throwing rocks, smashing windows, slashing tires on driverless vehicles. There was a man who waved a .22 caliber revolver at a Waymo vehicle, and he says he told the police when they eventually caught up to him that he despises driverless cars.
Why?
There are other places they can test these vehicles. He doesn't see why they have to be tested on his streets. And whenever whenever he has a chance, he brakes super hard in front of these self-driving vehicles, and then sometimes he plays chicken with them,
because then if it rear ends him, he's not at fault. Is that what the thinking is there?
Yeah, he just hates them, and he's afraid of them, and people are afraid of the EVs. Yeah,
well, people are often afraid of things they don't understand.
That's what I'm getting at.
So you're saying that this guy, because he's not a scientist, of course he's going to act this way.
Part of me thinks
the scary self-driving cars in my neighborhood.
Part of me thinks that he enjoys it, right? This has now become his hobby. Some people take up knitting, stamp collecting.
His new religion.
His new religion is harassing self-driving vehicles.
Robots,
your religion is coal dusting people in electric vehicles. But a lot of these people do strike out of fear, right? Maybe fear that it'll take your job, but also fear of the unknown. You see this electric vehicle driving on your streets. It's unusual. Right? It's like seeing a woman vote 80 years ago.
Whoa. I thought you meant like date. I was like,
is that not a good comparison? But you know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of these people, these Luddites.
Oh, how do we distance ourselves from Danny immediately, Rob?
Who is it?
I'm not.
Who's your
friend? I'm only comparing them to people who are afraid of change, okay? And I know it's not the same thing. I'm just saying that there's these people who can't stand to see things change, who don't understand that the change is
for
the
better. Who can't comprehend seeing the change take place.
Yeah, they don't like
being there.
All right,
so what do we do? What do we do?
Let me fix this for you, Danny. They're too small-minded to accept a positive change when it comes along.
Well, I think, first of all, they should listen to our podcast, right? We can help them. We can slowly guide them into this
bolt hole.
AI-operated future.
Mm-hmm. Until they're fully inside the bolt hole.
Just they can sleep every night well, knowing that if the AIs do turn against us, they can have that I told you so moment. The greatest I told you so in the history of humanity, where as we're being put into, ships
shuttles
and flown out to some distant planet to mine ore or salt, they can, to everyone on the spaceship, they can be like, I told you. The whole thing about me playing chicken with the robot cars, it was
all of that.
Danny, this guy is not one of the people who's like a warning civilization. This is like cow tipping, where it's like, hey, this will be funny if I do this. This is
It's not even that, because that's dangerous.
Oh, by the way, he's just one person, though. I'm saying there are other people out there who can have the I told you so moment. I think this guy might be a little bit, you know, a little bit unstable. Playing chicken with a robot car, is it normal human behavior?
Mm-hmm.
But I just like these people who hold
and
up.
You said
future.
This is Arizona, not Florida, right?
Yeah, this is your, exactly. This is your home state. But this is the biggest problem I have. And I always mention this when I talk about robots. You know, he cites the woman who got hit in Arizona by the Waymo car, or no, by the Uber car, as an example of why we don't want this. But it's like humans are hitting people all day, every day. Right. If your issue is that people are getting hit by cars, then you should be out there fighting against alcohol. You should be out there fighting against texting and driving. It's like the last thing you need to worry about are robots driving cars, mm-hmm. because even it seems to me like a wayward robot is probably more reliable than a distracted human.
Right.
Humans are terrible at driving. We should all eagerly invite the robots to drive for us. Because I hate driving.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait. And they'll be a lot safer than us.
Until so it's just like, come on. Diesel truck rolls coal on me in my driverless car.
Yeah.
Yeah, who are these people? I just wish that I could reason with them and say, look, this is the future. It's coming. And in some ways, it's going to be so much better because humans should not be driving cars.
Mm-hmm.
They are too dumb, too distracted. A robot will have nothing else to do but drive the car. It won't be checking its text messages. It won't be sleep texting in the worst case scenarios.
I got it.
Go.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's create a car that can text and tweet and Facebook for you while you drive distraction free.
Yeah, they kind of, you know, with Siri, I guess you could try and do something like that, Tyson. Maybe. It's not like the most intuitive.
Isn't that funny that it's easier to teach a car to drive safely on the roads than it is to tweet something that you'd be pleased with?
But seriously, when I come across stories like this, it pisses me off because it's like the alternative is humans keep driving. Mm-hmm. And that's unacceptable.
That's the worst. But also it thins the herd.
Your disdain of humanity is stronger than your fear of modern technology.
Yeah, when it comes to driving.
Mm-hmm. Humanity's
especially
flaws.
When it comes to driving.
Yeah.
It's just like get the last place humans should be is behind a combustion engine at 85 miles an hour with phone in hand.
Can you imagine the future where it's self-driving cars? There will be no stoplights or any signs because everybody can drive. Every car will drive 200 miles an hour everywhere they go all the time, and they'll just zip in and out of traffic in like a perfect pattern so that you're going to get everywhere five times faster than you would regularly.
It's a utopia, and these Neanderthals are just trying to make it.
They're slowing us down.
They're slowing us down.
We have another continent like Australia where we could ship these blights on society.
Another colonial island where we can put our willing to accept technology, they can go and live and see how great of a world they can build there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, good luck.
All right.
And then they end up creating a better utopia than where they left, and then we all learn our lesson for a little time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's damn it, Australia.
Danny, you got anything else this week?
No, I'm sorry if that's it. I feel so much better now after saying all that.
All right.
You look better.
A Danny rant to get us started in 2019 as we take another step towards driverless vehicles here. Tyson, yes. Anything else going on this week?
Well, did you check your text message?
I did.
And?
Yay
or nay?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So I am supposed to be heading to the Bahamas on Saturday to play the biggest poker tournament of maybe ever.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And I have to complete one more challenge, and it's reading people. And it's Chris Moneymaker, who famously won the World Series of Poker in 2003. And it's a two truths and a lie where you can submit a video on Twitter with the hashtag testing Tyson of you telling two truths and a lie, and then either private messaging Moneymaker, Chris Moneymaker, the answer, or Rob the answer. And then we're going to do a short segment tomorrow afternoon with like five videos. But whoever we get the most participation from throughout this whole testing Tyson thing is going to win either 1% of my winnings or 1% of Chris Moneymaker's winnings, which the winner is going to take like... I think I'm going to have Moneymaker pick somebody from their Survivor side or from my fan base, and I'm going to choose someone from his fan base.
Okay.
Why?
No, I was going to say, do you, like, if you win, do you have to pick whether they get 1% of your money or 1% of Moneymaker's money?
No, I think we're giving 1% of him and 1% of me.
Yeah. Okay.
So one person is getting 1% of him, one person is getting 1% of me.
Yeah.
And if, and that's going to be like a $6 million or $7 million payday if one of us wins, which means that a 1% is still 60 to 70K.
Not bad.
What's
not
better, bad. My chances of winning the lotto or winning money with you?
Winning money with me for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll also start a thread in the group AF where if people want to make a video with their phone, does not need to be fancy. You want to tell Tyson two things that are true about you and one thing that is a lie about you. And then we will turn that into a podcast also.
Yes, just a short podcast. Sure. We're going to film it tomorrow afternoon, and then we'll have it in video form to share everywhere we want. And, I mean, the more shares it gets, the better. So if it's on Twitter and we're retweeting it and sharing it with people, because the group is a private group, you know?
Yeah, just to submit the videos. That's
you know. Yeah, if you submit the videos, because we can still share them on Twitter after that anyways.
Right.
But however you can get them to us, the whatever... But we're only going to do like a small handful of them. And if I pass this test with Moneymaker, then I will win a Platinum Pass package, which sends me to the Bahamas, all expenses paid, and pays for my entry fee into the tournament, which then can pull me from this middle-class existence that I've been living for the last...
the doldrums of your everyday life. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Finally, I can be happy.
Right.
But
and we don't want anybody admitting any felonies in their truths.
I don't care.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if somebody, like, committed a murder, you know.
Oh, yeah, I do not want to be a part of that. Misdemeanors, fine.
Misdemeanors, fine. Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I have a review.
Danny, will you record two truths and a lie for Tyson?
I've been sitting here trying to, I couldn't do it. Tyson would know. It'd be too, oh, maybe that would be a good thing though. Give him an easy softball.
You know Danny too well.
I know Danny too well. Yeah.
Yeah. But
I know him. Like, I'm like almost like God to Danny, where I know the decision he's going to make before he makes it. I know the intent of his heart so well that before he makes a decision, I know what decision he's going to make.
Does that mean Danny has no free will?
Yeah. That's a good question, Rob.
That's the age old question, isn't it, Rob? Do we have our free will? If God knows us so well, he knows exactly how we're going to live our lives.
Wow.
Good question. That's not one for us, though. We're not that kind of podcast. If it was taking place in Florida and involved bath salts and had maybe that storyline,
yeah,
we'd talk
covered
about
that
it.
For sure.
Right. Okay.
But, yeah.
Tyson, you have a review for us?
Yeah, I have a couple of them.
Okay, fire let's away. See
just one. Do one. Let don't waste
one.
Them all.
Let me do one.
News.
Okay. I have been listening to these three titans of newscasting for nearly a year and have come to the following conclusions.
Okay.
One, that vascular D character has been sculpted out of marble by the gods.
Is that you, Tyson?
Two.
Are you the gods? Are you the god of
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, because I know exactly the workout Danny's going to do before he does it. Two, Rob needs to understand how football works. With the new sponsors, he keeps saying each NFL game is more and more important as the season goes on. That is simply not true. Each NFL game is worth an equal amount, except for the Super Bowl and the playoff games.
No, I disagree.
Okay,
yes.
Rebuttal?
Yes, I do rebuttal because, yes, okay, yeah. Statistically, the week one game is worth as much as the week 17 game, but there's more on the line when you get to week 17. So I disagree.
it could mean getting into the playoffs or not at that moment. Is that what you're saying? Or why is there more on the line?
It means more. Yes, I understand it's still 1/17th or 1/16th of your schedule every single week. But the week 17 game, if you need it, is more important than the week 1 game.
Strong argument.
Okay. And third, Tyson needs his own theme song. Overall, a great podcast and a worthy news source. Thank you, Enter the Sandman.
Okay.
All right, that's a good one.
That was
good. Sorry, Rob.
I mean, it was good for you guys.
It was good for
kind of a...
Yeah, yeah. It was great for us.
Okay, we got... Okay, fine. Here, we'll do another... And the title is One Great Show, Two Great Characters, One Okay Dude. But that, I think, is just to create a controversy between us three figuring out who the okay dude is.
Yes.
Okay.
Here's another one. This one's for you, Rob, and this one will slam Danny, but not you.
Good.
Don't worry about it.
On this podcast, you'll hear about...
It's not from the guy that hates Danny in the Facebook group, is it?
No, I don't think so. Fake Zach Mason.
No.
Only sort of news. On this podcast, you'll hear about the thirstiest corporate publicity stunts, the most disgusting things people do when they travel, and the most innovative way society finds to try and get laid.
Mm-hmm.
Tyson Apostle and Rob Cesternino bring humor and insight to the week's oddest goings on. Danny Bryson is also on this podcast.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I am also on this podcast.
Yeah, you sure are.
I appreciate the shout out.
All right.
So I'll let you know what time tomorrow,
okay,
Rob.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Okay. All right.
But he said afternoon sometime. Okay.
Shout out to Shane Powers, who's been watching and commenting along the way. Thought we went on too long with the driverless cars segment.
I bet he's the guy that has been like... you know, short-stopping them and stuff.
I don't know.
Shane.
Yeah. And says that he's ready to come on the show next week also. He also likes the football games this weekend.
Okay.
Okay. Also, Danny's painting was freaking Shane out.
Danny did that himself after watching the Bob Ross special.
Such a crappy painting. I don't like it either.
Okay. He also commented on my shirt. I wasn't sure if he liked it or did not like it. I'm guessing did not.
It's hard
like
to tell.
Just assume he did.
Yeah.
Via texting, text only, it's kind of hard to know what's actual factual.
Yeah. So, but I do like to shout out when we have our celebrities in the chat, like that one time that Steven Fishback was watching for 3 minutes.
Yeah. And Fairplay joined us, and so did. Yeah.
He usually goes like, what is that shall not be named. Am I watching? What is this thing?
No, he doesn't. He's just like, buy a T-shirt, 20% off this week only.
All right. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre putting this all together. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.
Special thanks to our friends over at TrueCar for sponsoring this episode of Rob Has a Podcast 60 Seconds. That's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you could do in about a minute? You can get an offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes for you to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, or listen to the sound of my voice, you can get a true cash offer on your vehicle. Best of all, you could do it all from your smartphone or from home. Just go to TrueCar, simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions, you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out for you together, and you can ask the questions that you need to know so there's no surprises, and then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today.
Okay, should I stop recording?